the season did not end the way we wanted. It actually ended a little earlier than we wanted to. Of course, we're all a little disappointed, bummed, sad, whatever you want to call it. Maybe even some people are upset. But we're here to talk about that. We're also here to maybe help cheer you up. I don't know. We'll do our best on this. We'll get into this. We still get to say this. Welcome to the Podcast of Champions. This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast.
This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, the first and only podcast dedicated to Orange County Soccer Club, its fans, and supporters. Follow us on Twitter at @OCSC_SoccerCast or on Facebook at Orange and Black Soccer Cast.
How's it going, Orange County? Welcome to another episode of the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, the first and only podcast dedicated to Orange County Soccer Club, its fans, and supporters. I'm your host, Ray Samora. I'm here to try and take you through this journey as we discuss all things Orange County Soccer Club. I'm going to do this, too, as I introduce everyone on here. I have a question for each interview. So first, we got Dylan coming on. Dylan, when you are walking down a wide path and you need to scoot over to the right or left, do you check your blind spot?
I do, yes.
Awesome. Also helping us out tonight, we've got the man in Vegas, and also, I guess, now the at least the leader of the beard length on our podcast. You'll see that soon here. We've got Brad. Brad, question for you. Do you check your blind spot when you're walking and merging from side to side?
Walking and merging from side to side? No, I typically go the route of chaos and go whatever direction the person I'm walking towards is going to go.
Perfect. So he's the one that cuts you off when you're walking in a big group.
It's not purposely.
The former champion of the beards here on the podcast, but as you can see, I don't know, he looks... This might be an imposter. We'll have to check his ID, his credentials. But that's Mr. Larry. Larry, do you check your blind spot when walking?
Well, I don't even know what the hell that means, man. Check my blind spot. I don't check my blind spot when I'm driving. I have a little thing in my mirror that tells me there's somebody in my blind spot. All right.
Please do not take driving advice.
I am 53 years old. I don't walk anywhere, man. I'm an old guy. And, you know, I have no beard, so whatever. Let's talk some soccer.
Yeah, because beard has everything to do with that answer there. We got a couple other people here to help us out tonight. First, we got DK. DK, do you check your blind spot when you're merging and walking?
Yeah, I do. I give a quick glance. I think my time of working at Disneyland and being in so many crowds kind of required me to be aware of the people walking all over.
There we go. Last one. Nathan, same question to you. Do you check your blind spot when you're moving around and walking?
Yeah, and I will only move to the right, never to left. Not sure why.
Very interesting. Then how do you ever get to the left if you just only go to the right?
Hope and pray that no one's there.
He does like a 360 turn to get to that far left side is what he does there, right? Dylan, don't look confused. Does that not make sense to you?
How many degrees do you think are in a circle, right?
360.
So if he's
just get him to be in the same position that he was?
Yeah. Okay. We're mathing it here, folks. The only reason I asked on this is because at the match on Saturday, if you don't watch me when I'm walking around, I'm a speed walker. Even if I'm just like trying to get over to like, you know, somewhere close, I speed walk, and through the stadium as I'm going and cutting through all the fans that are, you know, slowly walking through and around, I'm looking over my shoulder left and right as I try and make those moves, because I don't want to cut anyone off that is maybe trying to walk faster by me than me and get past me. That's why I'm saying that. But yes, let's get into this. Here's what we're going to do. We do have to discuss this past weekend's match, the final match of the season for Orange County Soccer Club. Obviously, three wins short of what we were all hoping the season would be, but we still need to talk about this match, as disappointing as the results were. And then what we'll do is we'll spend some time talking about just sort of our thoughts on the season in general. Just to give you guys a roadmap of the upcoming episodes, we will get into some player grades rather quickly. And we are finalizing and working on the logistics for our awards voting. So all of you fans will get to vote for the awards. We'll get that link out shortly for you so y'all can tell us who your favorite players were, goals were, what your favorite victory was, all that fun stuff. We'll get into all that. Let's talk about this match, though, this past weekend at Championship Soccer Stadium, where Orange County hosted Phoenix Rising, second round of the playoffs. And for the fans in attendance, the fans watching, you got some bonus time. We'll get into that. First and foremost, I'm going to blame this result on Larry. I'll go to Larry first because we were at the stadium talking and Larry was boasting how he's already got his plans for Sacramento. He's already got his trip booked. He's making it out there and that Orange County was going to be there as well. So I'm going to go to you first, Larry. Do we all get to put the blame on this loss on you because you were so confident before the match that you were heading to Sacramento to cheer on Orange County?
You know, you can try, but I've never accepted blame for anything in my entire life. What the hell makes you think I'm going to start now? Listen,
because now we have it on record. It's recorded. It's on record that you were so confident.
I did not have anything booked. Carrie and I did a little bit of research on hotels in Sacramento, and I felt really good going into this game. And I was feeling my team and the way we've been playing. And as much as it pains me to say it, an inferior team outplayed us all night long. 60-40 on possession. I thought that Phoenix looked tired, but we seemed to be more tired when it came down to it at the end. And, you know, then we got Milan banging against the crossbar right there. You know, if people want to blame me, I got wide shoulders and a strong back. So, yeah, go ahead, feel free. But it's just unfortunate turn of events. And I went to bed sad Saturday night and I woke up sad Sunday morning and I'm still a little sad right now. Hence why I'm listening to, you know, some REM, Everybody Hurts.
Okay. So he will not take ownership of the loss, even though he was one. I think the one member of our crew that was super like confident in this. I don't think anyone else was as confident as you, Larry. Dylan, let me go to you. Your thoughts on Orange County's performance, obviously going down early, but equalizing midway through that first half. And then no goals until, what, the 115th minute when somehow, some way, Phoenix gets the ball in the back of the net. Your overall thoughts on this match, Dylan?
I think 6 months ago, we conceded that goal, and that's it. And I think probably if you're listening to the show or if you're on the show, I would imagine you probably agree with that. Things changed and, you know, we fought back and we did actually fight back and I thought Among did really well. I thought we had a chance, which hasn't necessarily been the case in about 2 years we conceded early and just wondering if we had the fight back left in us. It's very disappointing, but I'm tremendously proud of the players this season, of the staff, the technical staff, front office staff, hell, the business side of things, of getting things done. And we obviously aren't going to end up with a second star over our crest this year, but a lot of good things kind of all around for the club and maybe something worth celebrating 10 years of.
All right. I didn't know you were done there, Dylan. Sorry. It sounded like you were mid-sentence. I apologize for the dead air, everyone. Brad, I'm going to go to you. Your thoughts on the performance here. Do you have anyone to blame on the Orange County side for this loss?
So I'm not going to lay blame on any one sole person for this game. I feel like the only time Orange County was in the driver's seat of this match was in the first half for the last 40 minutes of the first half. Just to bring you up some stats, doing more prep than I typically do. Orange County scored or shot 12 times in the first half, 5 times the rest of the game. And I think all but one of those shots came after Phoenix scored the first goal. They were very, very devoted on scoring the ball in the first half after going down a goal. And then once when that happened, a couple more chances they blew. And then the second half, they kind of just let Phoenix control the tempo. Really, Phoenix had the ball almost all the second half. And each team had one shot on target. One shot total. And then Phoenix scores in the second extra time. And Orange County never really seemed to put any effort on the net for most of the game after the Amon goal in the 24th minute. And I feel like, honestly, Orange County as a whole, I think, was the worst team this game. Phoenix looked dangerous for a lot of this game. They took all the shots they were given. They spread the ball quite well in Orange County's defense. You know, we've been crediting this defense all season for the latter half, and they've been doing good. And testament to them for only keeping two goals out, or keeping the score sheet to two goals, because the offense let the back line down this game.
Let me ask you, DK, you were at the stadium, you were there at the match. Describe the atmosphere in the Caroline Coalition section and just the stadium in general. Do you think the fans did their part to try and pump Orange County up for this? And again, your thoughts on the match as well.
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about in the stadium this season and this game, I think the CLC and the fans overall, you know, you could really feel the passion, not just in this game, but throughout the whole season. I mean, as a CLC member for quite a long time, this season, I think, was one of the best community elements that we've ever had. And, you know, we were singing for 90 minutes. And I think, you know, we obviously wish that the team would have, you know, played as hard as we may have sang for 90 minutes. But, you know, it's different types of energy. So, but I would say, I mean, overall, my thoughts on the match were pretty similar to Dylan and Brad's. You know, I think the first half, despite that early goal that took us all by surprise, unfortunately also took the back line and Colin by surprise, I think all of us were feeling really confident. I mean, at halftime, I was walking around. I was like, we got this in the bag. Our midfield completely controlled the match. But when the second half came on, I mean, it was a battle of attrition at that point. Both teams looked tired. Our defense held things down. Our midfield was doing well. I think Kyle Scott getting subbed off really made an effect and, you know, brought us down in regards to possession and control of this game, which was unfortunate. I know he does a lot, so him getting subbed off makes sense because he's everywhere on the pitch, but it really goes to show how important he was to this game and to our whole season, the effect he could see when he's not there.
And I think the sub off for Kyle Scott, probably the yellow card played into that. I think Coach Carlson was trying to avoid a second yellow, knowing how important this match was. And if you move on, that second yellow then, you know, can hurt you in the next match, right? And I'm going to tell you this. Very smart analysis from you, DK. Brad's shaking his head. Maybe I'm wrong. Who cares?
No, I think in the postseason, sorry, I'm cutting you off a little. I think in the postseason, I don't care about a second card. I'd rather have a player not be available in the next game, but still make it to the next game.
Yeah, but if you get a second yellow card in this match, you're down, you're playing down a man in a really tight contested match. And I think that's what Morten Carlson was trying to do, avoid that second yellow so we could have a full roster there. I'll let you talk more, Brad. Hold on really quick. I want to give Nathan a chance because he's just hanging tight really quick, but I just wanted to let DK know, very smart person. I got home. My wife didn't make it to the match because our dog was not feeling well. But the first thing my wife tells me when we get home is when Kyle Scott came off the pitch, the game changed, and it wasn't for the better for Orange County. And I think a lot of people might agree with that, because once Kyle Scott came off the pitch, Orange County wasn't looking as confident in that midfield. Nathan, your thoughts on this match overall?
I think Phoenix was a better team. We just could not seem to score at a pace need to beat them. And honestly, the backline did their job. Like, fatally held them to one goal over 90 minutes. I can't fault them for giving a single goal at a time. So yeah, this one sucks because I do believe that this team, this current team, was better than the team that won it in 2021. More well-rounded, better offense, better midfield. So yeah, it sucks.
And here's the thing with this team, right? This team, I think you could see it in them, especially after this loss. There was really passion from the players for this team. It wasn't like teams past where maybe players were there just to play soccer, maybe collect a paycheck, but they didn't really care about the overall outcome of this team. I think a lot of these players really were just like heartbroken. Like I think they agree with you. This was a good team. This was a team I think they knew had a chance to win something and do something good. And it was very disappointing. But I feel like just interacting with a couple of the players before I left on Saturday night, you could tell there was just some very sad emotions going on from a lot of these players and a lot of thanking the fans and a lot more than we've seen in the past. Dylan, I'm going to ask you this question because we saw some stuff in the highlights, and this is something I think this can relate to the whole season. We'll talk more about this match, but do you think for as strong as he looks, does Thomas Among go down too easily a lot of the time?
It's probably a fair thing. I think a lot of the time he's running at his max. So I think that doesn't help things. And I think once you're gassed from making a 50-yard run in behind and you just get kind of shoved, you're going to take a minute. I don't think him going down is the reason we lost this game. Or any games for that matter. So okay. I'm hesitant to say that, and point fingers beyond that, you know, we should have scored more goals. If we look at the stats again for a sec, it's 16 shots and only 3 of those are on target. It's kind of surprising that one went in based on that. You realistically want to have quite a few more than that. Especially this level, but yeah, I'm not gonna point blame it or point fingers or assign blame to any individual players for this one. That just feels unfair.
And this is where I get to come into play. So. I'm gonna ask each of you about some of these players, and I'm not gonna maybe make it easy on everyone, but I apologize on that. I'll go. Who wants to go next? Who wants this next question? I'm gonna let you guys open it up right again. Brad raised his hand first, so I'm gonna go to Brad. Not a typical Milan Alaski performance. A lot of his shots were wide or didn't even come close to target. Obviously, he had the crossbar shot, which maybe unluckily didn't go in. But I recall a wide right shot. I recall a bicycle attempt that was nowhere near the target. What are your thoughts on Milan on his what we now know is his final performance for Orange County, unless he returns in the future, but at least for this round of him with Orange County? Final performance. What are your thoughts? How do you rate his performance in this match?
I mean, if I remember correctly, I believe Milan did assist the goal for Thomas Among. No, it was Dugman, wasn't it? Dog. Milan not scoring.
I told you all these questions are not going to be easy. Yeah, I'm going to call these out.
I don't think the blame does lie squarely on his feet, at his feet, on the crossbar, where whatever. Milan definitely did not score, but he had his impact on the game. He definitely had his opportunities, and I think, honestly, we can just leave it at that. It's the shots didn't go in. The crossbar can be a cruel mistress sometimes, and you know, Milan's not coming back now, but he had a hell of a 2 seasons with the team.
Perfect. I'll go to you next, Larry. I'm not even going to ask who wants this next one. Larry, your thoughts on Shuttler's performance in this match. Obviously, that first goal is a difficult one in that situation, sort of a weird bounce of the ball, some stumbling going on in front of you, and just a nice little touch to get the ball away from Shuttler there. The second goal is just a banger. You know, we saw that. A few weeks back when they were in Phoenix, a banger beats them, and that's basically what happened in this match. What are your thoughts on Shuttler's performance here? Was it?
I thought Colin had another good game. I really do. Come on, Danny Trejo coming at you one on one let's be honest, a brilliant pass to split the two center backs. And then you've got one of the best goal scorers in the league over the last 2-3 seasons. coming at you, you're not going to stop very many of those. That's just fact of the matter. The second goal, you know, God, the guy went top shelf. He hit the top of the damn net and just blew it right by him. And I think that that was as much as last week, I was doing nothing but talking up how great our defensive back four was. And in those two instances, the defensive back four, they failed. That second goal, I said it before we went on air. Bryce went just flying by, didn't even stop, and the guy was able to hit the brakes, stop, and just bang it with his right foot. I can't fault Shuttler. I can't fault the way that he played. I think that Colin and the nervousness that we all had in regards to Colin to start the season was erased after Cropper hung up the cleats and Colin took over full time. Colin had a great year, and I'm incredibly proud of the kid. I hope he comes back next year, and we got him between the pipes for 34 games. So I got Colin's back on this one. I won't say a single bad thing about his performance from Saturday night.
And I'm going to just say this right. I love all the players on this team. I'm not trying to say that these players are the ones that made mistakes. I just want to find out. I'm trying to sort of dive a little bit deeper into these. And I apologize. I'm giving you guys some tough questions, or at least tough topics to discuss here. It's not about trying to badmouth anyone or blame them for anything. I just want to find out what we think about some of these things. DK Nathan, who wants this next one? This will be fun. All right, DK's got this one. I want to ask you about your thoughts and sort of your thoughts on the performance or the decision-making from Coach Morten Carlson on this one with his substitution patterns, the strategic stuff going on with this. How do you think he did in this big game for Orange County? And do you think his substitution patterns were correct, or would you question those after the fact now?
I mean, I questioned it earlier on, my answer before in regard of, Kyle Scott coming off. I will preface this by saying that I'm not a coach by any means. And obviously Morten Carlson knows far better than I do, not only about the sport, but about the team that he's been leading. And boy, what a season he has led. I think everybody, not just on this podcast, but all the supporters, fans, everybody in the league can see that this team became what it was because of Morten Carlson. However, I definitely have disagreements about the way things went, not just in the subs, but in regard to, I also think that Among should have been a sub. And that might be a controversial take, and I know that he scored us our goal, but I think with his power, with his speed, I think he, throughout the majority of the season was a fantastic super sub that came on for us to pretty much obliterate a exhausted opposition. And I think in a playoff game like this, even though McNulty was coming off of, a suspension and being gone for a little bit, I think Among being brought in the second half would have done wonders for us in regards of just, defeating the exhausted Phoenix. But again, I don't really have the know-how or knowledge to say that I know better than Morten Carlson. I think he was a fantastic gaffer for us. I really hope he comes back next season, even though I have doubts that he will, because I'm sure he's going to get a ton of offers elsewhere, because he did a fantastic job, not only with, the strategy that he changed for this team, but in building the chemistry and identity that the squad had that made us so successful.
Perfect. Thank you. Nathan, you get this final question for this round of questions. I want to ask you just your thoughts on this defense. It's been a great defense for a big part of the season, especially when Orange County went on a great run, but some mistakes didn't work out well for them. Again, this goes into some of the substitution patterns and stuff going on, but I believe in that extra time you had, like, Fox was in there along with Marcus, along with Dylan. Ryan's in there. Alex Villanueva comes in, but he's playing more forward. Your thoughts on the defense's performance, or any player that is defensive minded?
Yeah, so I do think that Marcus played a good game as he usually does. However, I do think Powers does kind of get beat on that first goal. The replay kind of shows him he tries to head the ball was near his knee, and he just misses it. And then on the clutch time, I mean, Cuello, he beats Jameson and then just has a lot of space in the box. No one's stepping to him, and it's kind of really easy for him to get that shot off. So I think Fox and the team do well in the game. Powers, unfortunately, makes two mistakes, and they both cost us.
Definitely. Dylan, you were like waving or something. I don't know if you need to head out. If you need to, by all means, we're not going to hold you hostage here, but you can say a last thing if you need to. I don't know what you're waving at.
I was waving because you said you were referring to Dylan Powers, but I'm not above just inviting myself into that comparison. It's a disappointing end, and this one was personally a little bit harder to see from a distance. I missed being in and amongst everyone this year, so I look forward to what next year has. And I think, you know, if we can keep a lot of this group together, we have a good shot, and that includes some of the technical staff as well. Because, you know, if you can keep a hold of a Morten Carlsen and really give him a full preseason to drill into the players that he wants, what he expects of them, then hopefully we hit the ground running next year. But again, just to look at where we were last year and where we started this year to where we finished, another reason I don't want to point fingers at players, they might have made a couple mistakes on Saturday night. We didn't get to win. That happens in the playoffs. But they showed up for 5 months out of the year learning a new system, and it was really good. And it was back to being pretty entertaining and dynamic again. And we actually looked good again. We looked like the team we were supposed to be. So to quote a certain somebody who was on this podcast trying to get me calmed down or something earlier, this too shall pass, I believe. Thanks, Larry. It will. It's been a few weeks, and I look forward to seeing you all next year. But you know, I'll be here the next couple of weeks, but I'm going to dip out for the evening.
So Dylan's got to head out, but we appreciate him taking some time to speak with us tonight. Thank you, Dylan. Have a great evening. And we will talk to you in a future episode here. We'll definitely have you back for the player grades. That's always a fun part of this, this whole thing here. Let's do this. And again, I want to reiterate, I'm not trying to bash any of the players, the coaching staff, or anything that happened. But part of being a podcast like we are is we have to break down what happened in matches. And unfortunately, this was a disappointing match that ends the season. We have a little bit more time to spend on it because we now don't have a preview for a future upcoming match here. So we get a little bit more time to sort of break down what's going on. One thing I want to say, and just, you know, whoever wants to jump onto this to answer is how big of a disadvantage, or how much did it hurt Orange County not having any midfield players on the bench that could come in and sort of spell what we had? Because you didn't have anyone when you took Kyle Scott out, when you took Kevin Partita out, you didn't really have anyone that could replace them for what they do, except for maybe a Dylan Powers, who I think slotted up higher on the pitch when Fox came in. But other than that option, there really is no other option as a traditional midfielder, right?
I agree there. I really, really think that this team could have used Ashish Chatha on Saturday night, a healthy Ashish. And prior to the game, I got there really early because they had that whole owner's toast thing going on. Ash was down on the pitch. He was running, and he looked healthy, and he looked good. And I was thinking to myself, okay, if he's running like this right now, he's not playing tonight. But if we get through tonight, I think we see Ash back on the bench next week. Unfortunately, we didn't get that. But yes, we could have used somebody else in the midfield there. You know, we were talking about it in our chat. Langford didn't have his best game, and he wasn't necessarily consistent. Who said it up there in the chat? Keith. You know, but Kevin never played the same position twice all year, it felt like. He was, you know, at one point he's playing up front as a striker. He's playing in the midfield. He's playing, you know, he's playing on the back line. which is awesome, phenomenal. The guy could be anywhere. But yeah, could we have used another body or two in the midfield in subbing off Partita, in subbing off Kyle Scott? Absolutely. Yeah, I think so. But our roster didn't have it at this point of the year. It just wasn't there. So, yeah.
Brad, go ahead if you have something to say.
I'm going to add on to that. It kind of, I think I'm one of the only people who have been questioning the Kyle Scott sub. It almost makes it a little bit more upsetting that Kyle Scott was subbed in, I believe, what, the 60th minute or something? 63rd minute. That's fairly early. Yes, I know he had a yellow card. I'm not a coach, also. I'll do the DK disclaimer. However, with that said, Orange County's one missing Rob Kiernan against Colorado Springs. Not that Phoenix is as bad as I think that Colorado Springs team was. I think this Phoenix team did a really good job of pressing and causing difficulties. Kyle Scott and Kevin Partita are the two that have been orchestrating most, it feels, of Orange County win the ball and a counterattack success this year. And Kyle Scott, especially out of those two. So taking him off, you could just see the team was gassed after that. And with our best midfield replacements being Bryce Jamison and Kevin Langford, it really makes me question those two a little.
Yeah, and those two players you mentioned are outside midfield players. They're not internal or midfield, like inside box-to-box midfield players like a Kyle Scott and a Kevin Partita would be. I agree with you on this, Brad. Is I think with what you have on the bench, you don't have an Ashish Chatha who would be like the sort of like for like. I know he's not at the level of Kyle Scott and Kevin Partita, but he's that similar position, and he at least knows how to get possession of the ball, retain possession, and distribute ahead. We've seen that from him in the limited time we saw from him. Without anyone in there, you take Kyle Scott off, and then later on take Kevin Partita off. You have no one that really replaces what they do on this team. So regardless of, you know, the yellow card aspect of it for Kyle Scott or how gassed they are, you take them out, you're not really filling in those positions. And now our midfield is vulnerable, and we saw Phoenix sort of take advantage of that. I think on that game winner, that would have been something where Kyle Scott or Kevin Partita are probably at least disrupting that shot, or at least in a position to disrupt that shot. Maybe it still goes in, but without them in there, and again, I agree with y'all, we're not coaches. Well, I coach youth soccer, but I'm not a professional coach, so I cannot say that I would know how to make the right decisions on that, but I feel like you have no one else that replaces what Kyle Scott and Kevin Partita give you, and you take them out. It's difficult, especially in this situation. This is a game. You have to treat every game of the playoffs like it is your last game. So regardless, like Brad was saying, hey, you get a second yellow, you got to leave it all out there on the pitch. I get the thought of you don't want to go down a man, but I also get the thought of you don't have someone to replace what Kyle Scott gives you on the pitch, or at least fill in for what Kyle Scott gives you on the pitch. It's going to be difficult when you take him out. So I sort of agree with you on that, Brad, which is, yeah, I think, rare. We don't always agree.
No, I typically have the wild takes. But just to really put the point home, I think Orange County makes it to penalty kicks if they go down a man. I think when the onus is not to score and instead preserve the 1-1 tie that it was, I think Orange County can go the 60 minutes there or so odd to make it a 1-1 plus penalties.
Chad made a great point in the comments in regards to Carlos Harvey. His thought was Carlos Harvey was told to instigate Kyle and Kevin into cards, and he successfully did that without getting any cards for a ton of infractions. I know I, being down there on, you know, pitch side, I was literally screaming, how is it not a foul? How is Harvey not getting a card? Are you kidding me? I mean, I don't like to use the R word, but there was some mugging going on by Carlos Harvey. Definitely mugging. So
it's always the second person that gets caught on those, and that's what happens in these situations, right?
Of course.
DK, let me ask you, we haven't heard from you in a moment. How when Phoenix scored that, what now ends up being a winning goal, were you already thinking ahead to PKs and sort of trying to do the math in your head on, you know, how that would work out? Or were you not even focused on that? You were still focused on what was going on the pitch? Because I know I was already sort of looking at, oh, cool, we're going to go to PKs. This will be fun. And then that happened. What were your thoughts on that when that goal got scored?
Yeah, I mean, before that goal happened, I was definitely thinking, okay, we're going to PKs. And at this point, it's anybody's game because, to be honest, you know, we didn't have a lot of practice throughout the whole season on, you know, Colin taking PKs as well as, you know, other than Milan shooting PKs either. So at that point, it was up in the air. We were at home. And I think, you know, that would have given us the boost to maybe, you know, take the win in PKs. But once that goal happened, it broke my heart, you know. I mean, it broke the heart of everybody over in the CLC there. You know, one thing I kind of wanted to mention is that throughout this whole season, I think we have a really good offense, but unfortunately, we had just trouble finding that finishing touch, you know, throughout the whole season. It wasn't just today or this last match. It was, you know, we had a ton of great shots that were either had amazing saves or hit the crossbar or were just wide. And, you know, you can call it luck all you want, but, or bad luck, I guess, all you want. But, you know, we had Milan, we had Among, we had McNulty, all fantastic strikers. However, you know, they just couldn't get that finishing touch a lot of the time. And I think that's what, you know, really came down to why we lost against Phoenix. Phoenix has that finishing touch. You know, despite we had a better record than them throughout the season, Phoenix had more goals than we did, I believe. And they had a better offense. I think we had a better midfield. I think we had a better defense. And I was saying that before the game, as long as we can lock them down, we'll win this match. But that early goal, which was unfortunate, and that late goal that, you know,
additionally unfortunate.
Yeah, additionally unfortunate. And it was a great shot. You know, I mean, yes, there's people that could have stopped him. I think Kevin Partita being in there, you know, as much as credit we've given to Kyle Scott this whole time, and I've given Kyle Scott heaps of praise this whole season, I think Kevin Partita being that defensive mid was huge for us. I mean, you saw the absence of him against San Antonio when they beat us 4-0. We were missing Kevin Partita, and he could have prevented a few of those goals, and I think he could have prevented that goal too. So it's unfortunate, and when that goal happened and we only had 5 minutes to get another one, I wish I could have said that I was confident that our offense could do it, but at that point we just couldn't get those finishing touches.
Well, hey, we OC did what Larry thought we had to do, get one goal and we would be fine, but it didn't work out. Sorry, Larry. Nathan, I'm going to give you
I can be wrong. Please ask my ex-wife. She will tell you I'm wrong all the time.
Nathan, I'm going to ask you a random hypothetical question here. I just want to get your sort of thoughts on this. If this match goes into PKs and right before PKs start, Phoenix swaps goalkeepers and brings in Patrick Rakowski in between the sticks against Orange County, what's going on through your mind if that was the situation there?
Why would they do that? I mean, to be fair, I don't think Rios Novo is the best keeper in the league by any means, but like interbring Rakowski, who has not played at all, it'd be dumb to bring him on, I'd say. So whatever. I will say though, I will add on to what Keith said. Not only if you don't have Scott or Partita on the field, that defense gets way worse as well. So I think having them both on probably does not let that last phase goal go in either.
Perfect. Any last thoughts on this match from anyone before we move on?
So many, but we'll just let them slide.
Yeah, how do you keep a match like this the same? I will share, though. I think Phoenix played a well-executed game. I think they came with probably the best plan to take out Orange County this season out of a lot of teams we faced. You know, the Sacramento game, sure, was a lopsided landslide against us, but I think Phoenix executed perfectly their strategy and deserved to win that game because of it.
I agree.
Awesome. So here's what we're going to do. I do want to recap Orange County's season, but I don't want to rush through that. So what we'll do is we will push that off into our next episode so we can actually give it a thorough breakdown of how the season went, start to finish. We can talk about the ups and downs, all that wonderful stuff. That'll be next week. Then the following weeks after that, we'll get into player grades, and then we'll do an award show at some time between now and the end of the calendar year. To get us prepared for that award show, I'm going to ask you all to share a player, and this will sort of maybe give a hint to what our new category is going to be for the award show. And so what I'm going to ask you all to do is I want you to just share, going back through the history of this club, back to the LA Blues, OC Blues, Orange County SC, a player that just means something to you or that you feel like has made an impact on the club, the organization, the community, and that you feel should be recognized as one of those, you know, leading players for this club's history. So, Brad, I know your fandom probably starts a little bit later than most of us because you had a team in Reno back in the days. So I want to give you the opportunity because I want us all
Let me go last. If you want me to have the best the best answer for this, I think me going last is the best answer.
We will do that. I want to ask, is anyone ready for this question? I know I sort of threw it at you guys out of left field. So Larry and DK have their heads up. Again, I'm going to let someone go first. If they take your player, then you have to think of another player that you want to give a shout out to. So I don't know.
He's telling you to go first, Larry. I'll go. I can think of two players just immediately.
Just one.
Seth Kasipley. Seth Kasipley is a fantastic soccer player. Seth Kasipley is a fantastic human being. When he came into and joined the team in 2020, when we had that season ticket holder event, Grayson went up and introduced himself to Seth, and I got a picture of the two of them together. And Seth is one of the people who, one of the players on the team who the last several seasons I've had conversations with, I have had social media interactions with, and he is a truly genuine, nice guy, good person. He is somebody that if I had a daughter, I would trust him to date my daughter. But in going to Seth meeting Grayson 2 years later, because in 21, we couldn't have a season ticket holders event. In 22, we had a season ticket holders event. Between 2020 and 2022, Grayson went from 5'3" to 5'11", a little bit taller than me. And I wanted to get another picture. And Seth came up and I said, hey, look, let me show you this picture. And I had the old picture of him and Grayson. I said, you remember my son Grayson? He goes, yeah, of course. I said, well, I want to get another picture. And then Grayson came walking up. And the look on Seth's face was like, this is Grayson? And Grayson's like 3 inches taller than Seth at this point. Just a great guy. Whatever this category is that you're talking about, Ray, I'm hoping that Seth will be able to fit my vote because I love the guy. I hope to God that he comes back for one more, maybe five more seasons. I don't care how long he comes back for, as long as he comes back. Because as we all know, it is fun to hang out with Seth Kasipley.
Perfect. Well said there, Larry. DK, your thought on a player that stands out to you as an all-time great for Orange County.
So I'm going to do probably a controversial take, and recency bias is playing into this. I have two players that I think, in regard to Orange County SC's Hall of Fame element. I know, Larry. I'm not even going to mention the two players I have in mind because I'm sure I will vote for them when we do the actual awards. However, on this podcast for this week, I actually want to shout out Marcus Nikeem. Because not only what he did on the pitch, which I think he was great. I do not think that he was one of, you know, the best players even that we had this year, although I think he had a huge effect. But one of the elements, or two of the elements that I want to mention, is that I think he was a fantastic captain for this team who didn't even start this season as the captain. He stepped into that role, and you could see it in every broadcast and every live performance that we were at, that he was in every scuffle. He was in every argument with the ref. He was a true leader of this squad. And seeing as I think that this squad was one of the best we've ever had in the Orange County history, I think that he was just a fantastic captain. But really what elevates him to make me want to talk about him on this stream is because, you know, as a County Line Coalition member, he came over to us every game. Whether we won, whether we lost, whether we scored, whether we didn't, whether we were away, whether we were home, Marcus Nakeem came over to us and celebrated with us. He clapped with us. He, you know, he loved the environment that the fans created. And I think that that brought the whole squad to then come over to us. And that's something that as a CLC member for, you know, most of my following of, you know, not just being a part of the podcast team, but just being a County Line Coalition member, we always wanted the team to come over and celebrate with us more. We wanted the team to appreciate what we were giving to them. And Marcus Nakeem did it immediately when he came to this club. So although I think there are players in the history that have had bigger effects and, you know, deserve more of that Hall of Fame role, I wanted to shout out Marcus Nakeem because this season he had my love.
Perfect. Nathan, what about you? Do you have a player? And it doesn't have to be a current player. It could be from the history of this team, someone that you just like think was amazing and a big part of this team's past and even part of what they are now.
Yeah. So again, I've only started really following the club in about 2018, 2019. So my straight is deep. However, one player that I think is really underrated, Mikko Kanyangis. Because as he said with the team, a guy really got in with the fans, really loved the vibe that we brought. And Mikko was a guy that teams did not want to play against. He would get into every scrap, everything. And he was a very good player, too. He had a goal against the Rowdies where from 30 yards out, just belted it, top corner. I see a picture of him and Terry. So, yeah. That guy is probably one of my favorite players, I'd say. And I kind of wish he was here a bit longer, but he did have probably a really profound impact on where we are and where we've been. So, yeah.
Perfect. Let me go to you. Well, Brad, do you want to go before me or do you want me to go first?
No, I can go before you. I feel like for the mass, I think I know where you were hinting with this. But I feel like for the mass majority of us, we're kind of missing the point of, I think you're talking HOF status players for the team. The player that I'm choosing is a player that I thought was a huge contribution to our 2021 season, who I honestly thought was going to stay another year, was going to contribute more, and has kind of fallen off the edge. And that's going to be my boy Tommy McCabe here. I think Tommy McCabe in 2021 was one of the unsung heroes of the Orange County roster, was one of the reasons we made it as far as we did to the championship, kind of being the Kevin Partita role, you know, without being Kevin Partita, and did a really good job with Eric Calvillo in that midfield of getting the ball forward. However, with that said, you know, I do like Larry's answer, Seth Kasiply. I think, you know, minus him being injured for a season at a time, that would be a player that I would instantly say is Hall of Fame worthy for this team. To answer the question appropriately, I think you have to put someone like Darwin Jones in there. I think Darwin Jones is a very quality player that put forward a lot of good efforts in a very long stretch of time. Thomas Avoltsen is also a player who belongs in that Hall of Fame category too. But for me, Tommy McCabe was just special. He was a good kid.
You're trying to like take away any name for me to use, huh? That was your goal there, I think, Brad. One name that I'm going to call out that none of you mentioned, though, that I feel like is a big part of Orange County's success and history Kevin Alston. Kevin Alston came over to this team. He was a proven MLS player. He had gone through some injury related stuff, but he was still at like that prime age of a soccer player where he can come in and contribute. And he was a really solid player in defense for a few seasons with us, and was part of that championship team, even though he didn't get to play much then because of the injuries and stuff that affected him. Right. But he came in and sort of, I think, legitimized Orange County as a destination for some of these proven either MLS talents or other talents. I think without a Kevin Alston coming in sort of doing that, maybe a Dylan Powers doesn't follow in the footsteps and come over as a proven MLS type talent and come on over to Orange County as a player. We're seeing a lot of stuff. I think Kevin Alston was amazing with his team. He was a great team ambassador. I think the fans appreciated the work he put on the pitch and what he did for Orange County. And I think he's a big part of this team's history and what has led to their current run of success over the last, you know, three or four seasons. Kevin Alston has a big part to do with that. I'm going to do like Brad and just, you know, mention some names because there were some names that weren't called out. Michael Orozco would be another player that sort of legitimized what Orange County can be and what players can come to Orange County with a proven track record. I know Thomas Innevoldsen was mentioned, I believe, by Brad. I don't know if anyone mentioned Aiden Quinn as one of those players. And then if you're going back even further in the days, I mean, you got to think.
Yeah, but Aiden Quinn is an absolute automatic for any and every Hall of Fame that has to do with USL Championship, to include if USL Championship ever has a Hall of Fame, Aiden Quinn is a first ballot Hall of Famer, like Babe Ruth status.
Some other names to throw at you. And you got to remember, he wasn't just a coach with his team. Richard Chaplow, he played for Orange County. He maybe is one of those first ones that legitimized coming over from England and from Europe and coming and playing with Orange County and sort of set that straight. I know there's other players that played earlier on with this team, but I think Richard Chaplow was a big part of that current generation of the way things have worked out and the history of this team. So you can even go further back. There's a lot of other players. I know a lot of more recent fans relate more the Phoenix side of it, but Chris Cortez played with Orange County, 66 matches, 21 goals with Orange County back in there. I don't know if it was only OC Blues or if it was also part of that LA Blues era, but he was part of this team back in the day. So that's someone that, you know, you can look at as someone that made a big impact for Orange County in the early days of this team. And maybe without someone like him, the team doesn't even make it to the James Keston OCSC days of Orange County Soccer Club. So just some thoughts, throwing out some names. I know I said one name from everyone and I cheated and named a bunch of names, but I just wanted to remind people of some of these other historic names that maybe you don't think of right off the top of your head. I get it. I said one name and it's hard when there's all these players to choose from. It makes it difficult. I appreciate it. I see a lot of you talking about Charlie Lyon in the comments. So way to throw that out there. I like that. Andre the Giant, Andre Rawls was called out. Of course, Miko, Dylan Powers, Thomas Innevoldsen. So I appreciate y'all in the chats for throwing out your thoughts on some of these great players. Perfect. See, we timed this perfectly. We can wrap up this podcast and still be under an hour. I know producer Andy's going to be excited about that aspect of it. So what we will do. Yeah, Larry. I don't know how I forgot Michael Seton as one of those options too. He had a great one or two seasons with Orange County. I think him and Thomas Innevoldsen, like one season, did pretty well together. And I think Thomas Innevoldsen and Aiden Quinn did good together one season. Amazing stuff. Let's get to our random thoughts part of the show. For anyone that's unfamiliar, has never heard us before, random thoughts means we get to talk about anything. And I know Brad's just waiting and dying in anticipation as to what I have to talk about, but we'll get to that later. Who wants to go first? I'll let you all pick.
Let Brad go first. I like his album stuff. Gives me new ideas on new stuff to listen to.
I don't have an album in my hands. I'm waiting for later this week. I have an album that's coming in. The Struts, a British glam rock group. But before we do, kind of, I want everybody to tell us who they want to win the championship out of Louisville, Phoenix, Sacramento, Charleston. Because I feel like, you know, we've watched a lot of these games, and I kind of am curious as to who everybody, including the chat, thinks is going to be the 2023 champion. For me, that's going to be – I hope Charleston wins. Emilio Acosta's had an amazing postseason, and from my Reno 1868 roots, I've been cheering for this kid ever since I saw him heading to Charleston this year, so I hope to see Charleston. And they've been doing amazing this postseason.
And let me just say this right now. If anyone wants the Butterflies to win the championship, please unfollow us and stop listening to us right from here on out, because you cannot pick them, right? That's rule number one. You cannot pick Phoenix Rising as the team you want to win the championship if you're an OC fan. I'm assuming. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you all love Phoenix. I don't know. So you want to throw in – here's what we'll do. Do your who you want to win the championship, but also share your random thought at the same time. So let's do it that way. So do you have a random thought, Brad? I don't know if you threw one out there as well.
I'm just looking forward to the Struts. Pretty Vicious is coming out this week. They are one of my favorite bands right now to listen to. So if you guys like good rock British glam music, that's my suggestion.
All right, I'm just going to go in a clockwise circle. So Larry, you're next with a random thought. And who do you want to win the championship?
I would very much like to see Charleston win the championship. If it can't be us and it can't be Charleston, I'll throw my hat behind SAC, just because I don't really want to see Phoenix win the championship. As to my random thought, umpiring baseball is hard. I took a probably 89, maybe not quite 90 mile an hour fastball off of the mask on Saturday. So that could be possibly why I was a little overconfident Saturday night at the game. I might have been slightly concussed. I'm not sure. But let me tell you something. Foul tips, they come fast. Foul balls straight back come fast. And when they blast off your mask, I don't care how long you've been behind the plate or how many years you've been doing it, that'll ring your bell a little bit. So, you know, we're gonna chalk up my overconfidence to perhaps a slight concussion.
Excuses, Larry. I'm going to say excuses, because I guarantee if we run back last week's episode, the actual episode, not the pregame show, you were just as confident then.
Damn right I confident was.
Then when we start before next taking season, a pitch to the face.
I am going
to
be that confident again when we go into next season, week in, week out. Brad, this was a 17-year-old that was about 6'2", 210, throwing straight heat, kid.
And he's going to need Tommy John surgery in a year. DK, what is your who do you want to win the USL Championship, and what's your random thought?
Ooh, you know, I think I'm going to go, you know, par for the course here and say that I would like to see Charleston win. I think, you know, they had a really rough year last year, and so it would be great to see, you know, just the switch like we thought we might have had of between years. But at the same time, I'm conflicted because I want the Western Conference to take it, because I think the Western Conference is the best conference. And so in that sense, I want Sacramento to win. Regardless, because we're not there, I just want to see a Charleston-Sacramento final. And whoever wins that match, I'll be satisfied with how the season ended. With my random thought, since Brad didn't give us an album, and I have my own pretty hearty record collection that me and Brad have never geeked over, but we should at some point. I'm going to mention what was in the background this whole time. So I got it out. It is my Otis Redding live at the Whiskey Go-Go. It was a Record Store Day release back in like 2014. And not only that element, but Otis Redding is one of my favorite artists of all time. I listen to this album, I don't know, maybe once every couple weeks, if not more than that. So I had to throw that out there. People should check it out. If they haven't checked out this, just check out any of his music, because he's one of the absolute best.
There is more than just sitting on Dock of the Bay from Otis.
Oh, 100%. Yes. Everything Redding has done was brilliant.
Perfect. Nathan, what about you? Who do you want to win? What's your random thought?
So it's obviously going to be Charleston. I just cannot root for Phoenix or Sacramento, or Louisville, to be fair. So Charleston, I think, are a proper club. They've been on for a while, so it's good to see them back to be a competitive squad. My random thought is going to be OC-related, but I'm actually going to be planning on writing a piece about the history of the OC jerseys. It'll be a collaborative piece with all the other writers and producers and all that people. So that will probably be coming out hopefully in about a month or so, but that'll be probably some off-season good writing, I hope.
Some off-season good writing. Hopefully, I guess that is the same thing for me. Andy, we didn't get under an hour, but we're going to get close to it. My pick, Charleston, is who I want to win. I think we all agree on it. It's sort of the feel-good story there. And if I recall, right, it would be nice. Maybe they can bring back those Peace Stain jerseys from a season ago. That would be pretty interesting if they could do that. They were the team that did that, right? That was their jerseys? Am I wrong? Brad's muted.
That was them. That was them. But their orange jerseys, I don't remember what their nickname. Holy City, I think, is what they call themselves. Those jerseys are straight fire.
Perfect. And last but not least, in both the Premier League and my son's U12 team here in SoCal Soccer League, we're top of the table. Two more matches for my son's team. We have to at least win one of them. Right now, we're top of the table with a game in hand and leading in goal differential against the second place team. So hopefully we can do this, be the champions of the year, and actually go undefeated for the season if we can win both of our final matches or at least draw in them. But that's how that goes. Go, Larry.
I just want to add something. Nathan just talked about this collaborative piece that him and the other writers are doing. For those of you who are listening tonight, if you have not been reading what Keith, what Nathan, what Tyler have been writing this year, you are doing yourself a disservice. These guys have been absolutely phenomenal. I started doing a little bit of writing last year. I realized that my writing skills weren't as good as they were 20 years ago when I was doing it all the time. And these three cats stepped up, and it added so much to what we have done this year. So Nathan, Keith, Tyler, thank you guys very much. Fantastic. Please do keep it up. And for those of you out here watching, if you are not reading them, go and read them, because they are just some really great pieces of just good sports journalism about something that we all love.
And where do they go to read it, Larry?
That's your job.
OCSCpodcast.com is where you can go to read it. You can listen to our episodes. You can read what they have. Hey, because of the writers like DK, Nathan, and Tyler, when you would, I think a week ago, I did a search for USL championship playoffs. And I believe one of the preview store articles was like the third article on a Google News feed when you're just typing for USL championship playoffs, which for those that know, I mean, that's a pretty cool thing to get from a random fan run podcast with some great writers doing the stuff. So I appreciate all the work they've done. You've helped elevate what we provide for the fans that are watching. Hey, let me thank everyone from Brad, Larry, DK, Nathan, that's been on the show this week. Dylan was on the show this week. All the people that weren't on the show, Tyler couldn't make it tonight. Taylor couldn't make it tonight. Anyone else I'm forgetting? Andy's our producer. No guests this week, so I don't have to mention them. Hey, this has been fun. We still got some more episodes to do before we wrap up for the 2023 year. We'll do it. Keep listening. Keep watching. This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast. We are out.